Hello, a very warm welcome to Fireside Chats. Today's topic is entitled Bestower of Salvation. My name is Magla Pillay, and it is my honor to interview today Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over 4 decades. In this series, we take a very personal look at you, the individual, and how you function, whether your life works for you, whether it's working against you, what is your understanding of yourself, of life, of reality, and especially, what is your understanding of God? Do you enjoy a personal relationship with Him, or is He just a name or a concept? Sister Denise, a very warm welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. The title Bestower of Salvation, I'm sure it exists in a few cultures across the world, in a few religions, and yet I'm not sure how many people really understand what this title of God means.
You know, in all the different religions, you find lists of the names of God. For example, in Islam, there's the 99 beautiful names of God. In Hinduism, the 1,000 names of God. And in Christianity, Judaism, though not in Buddhism, there's no concept of God in Buddhism, but wherever the religions are theistic, the descriptions of the titles of God are there. And because of that, people know them. Now, this expression, bestower of salvation, first of all, it's in English. And second of all, it is a translation of a title of God in Hindi or Sanskrit. So I'd like to refer back to the original, which is Sadgati Data. And it is said in India that God is the bestower of liberation and salvation, or at least that's the translation that we use, Mukti and Jivan Mukti, or Gati and Sadgati. Now, in many ways, to use the word salvation as a translation for these words is somewhat inaccurate. So I would offer another translation. Sadgati is to, God is the one who takes you to your right destination, which is a little different, quite a lot different from salvation. Hmm. Now, there is this expression salvaging, and that also arises in the Hindu philosophy, the Hindu theology, where it is said that a human life is a boat on the ocean of life. And the ocean is sometimes calm, sometimes stormy, and when there are storms, then your boat can capsize and sink. So the idea of God as the bestower of salvation in that situation is God will bring your boat up from the bottom of the ocean and take it to safe harbor. So God as the salvager. So, you know, some of these expressions are issues of semantics and translation issues. Now, salvation is a word that you find in Christianity, where the soul is gone into degradation and needs to be brought into salvation. And so salvation is then considered as, well, all your sins are forgiven and you go to heaven and you sit there for the rest of eternity, and that is salvation. Now, the theology of Brahma Kumari's Raj Yoga is different. So we have issues of concept and translation and reference from one religious cultural context to another religious cultural context. Now, we use the expression knowledge. We also say spirituality, not religion. Then we also use the word dharma. And all of these words, there are translations that you can find in dictionaries, but any concept doesn't go very easily from one culture to another culture, from one religious belief system to another religious belief system. So when we want to take concepts that are described and defined in the Hindi language and put it into English, you're not only going from one language to another, but you're going from one culture to another, one belief system to another, and so on and so forth. And so there are issues of semantics and interpretation. And this is why I'm taking a little time to make us clear that it is an interpretation. And if you look at the word for translation, in some languages they actually use the word interpretation, and the translator is very often called an interpreter, because an interpretation is something you also do with music. You know, the composer will write the piece of music in solfège, but the player of the instrument will interpret it individually. So when we're looking at the concept of salvation, we have to define it somewhat clearly. So saying that a title of God is the bestower of salvation, we have to say, what do we mean by that? And so I would say we need to say that what God does for you, the soul, is to take you from somewhere where you really don't belong, the world of hell, to somewhere much better, a heavenly world, or a state of liberation from life, or liberation in life.
Sister Denise, I once heard it said by probably someone like Khalil Gibran, do not look for love, because if love finds you worthy, love will find you. Okay? Does the same apply to God?
Well, I think maybe I would look at it slightly differently. I think that there's a lot of people who are consciously looking for God. There are some people who are consciously looking for truth and might end up at God, because it is also said God is truth. Some people might be looking for love and might end up as God, at God, because God is also called love, or God is more precisely the ocean of love, rather than just the quality of love, because God is a being who has qualities rather than just qualities. So I think also the other way around, that God is on the lookout for people who are on the lookout for God, you know. So is a two-way process. Mm. And why is this going on? Is because this is a time in human history where the creation is occurring.
The creation of what?
The creation of the world. So what is the creation of the world? How does the creation occur? In the Hindu tradition, they speak of the Trinity as God gets the world created through Brahma, sustained through Vishnu, destroyed through Shankar. So in that description, there's creation, sustenance, destruction. In the Western world, when people are talking about God the Creator, it's described in terms that God makes the world happen, like very quickly. In the biblical description, it's a 7-day process. and God said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. So the idea of the word of God, which means that, you know, God causes something to happen by speaking. And now for God to speak, there has to be a mouth. There has to be an instrument, just as a soul cannot speak unless it's incarnated. And so we have to go into a lot of very tricky details of concepts, theological concepts, religious concepts, spiritual concepts, which are very subtle, quite difficult to understand. One needs to sit with it, take time with it. But, salvation. Salvation means my life is not a collapsed situation, but if it collapses and I'm an eternal soul, then the only one who can do something for a collapsed soul is not another human being, but God. So the encounter with God involves God taking the soul from a state of collapse and causing the soul to be filled with the light of God. And you could say that is one description of salvation, but there's more to it.
I think the reason that you're searching for something or someone is because there is a need within the soul that has yet to be met. And although we have human needs that causes us to go to other human beings to for a temporary fill-up, we're still looking for God. What is it that God offers humanity under the banner of the bestow of salvation that human beings cannot? Because it's such a deep, universal search and wanting to be with God. There's millions of people. So what is it that God gives the soul that is not available elsewhere?
Actually, God gives many things to the soul, and one by one. Usually what happens is a soul will approach God in a state of more or less desperation. So the first thing that the soul needs from God is peace. So that is usually the first experience. I have received peace, I've got everything. And then after a while the soul says, what about some love? And then the soul begins to be able to receive love as well as peace. And as each part of the soul's neediness gets fulfilled, the soul then discovers another bit that needs fulfilling. And so as the soul continues to develop the relationship with God, more and more unfulfilled parts start to get addressed. And the soul starts to notice, you know, like a person who is, you know, discovered in the desert, totally dehydrated, what they want is water. And then they need food, then they need a bath, then they need a house, then they need a job, then they need, you know. So it's like as soon as one need is fulfilled, it opens up the need for another need to be fulfilled. And so your relationship with God is like that. And then you might say, okay, salvation is the last thing that you get from God, which is the total fulfillment of all possible needs that the soul could possibly wish for. And then you could say, okay, that is salvation. But along the way, you're getting a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Then there are two very different things that different souls will want from God. And there are two destinations, and a soul has to sort of decide or discern, where is my ultimate destination? And so one destination that is desired by the overwhelming majority of souls is to go up to nirvana, to the world of light, to be with God and stay there. That's the desire of most people. And in the Indian language, this is called mukti. This is called liberation. And so most people want that. That means the soul is purified, the soul is no longer bound in the world, the chains, matter, karma, all of this. The soul goes to nirvana and that's it. And it stays there. You know, the world of nirvana is anyway timeless. So you're in a timeless state and you're totally pure, and actually the soul becomes totally merged, so you don't even really know that you are there, because you can't know things consciously until you're in a body. And you also get into a state of ignorance in a body. So it becomes very subtle. Now, the second destination that is possible is the idea of going to paradise or going to heaven. So God is famous for creating heaven. So that is another destination, which means that you go to the world of liberation first. And if you have created that karma which gets you to go to heaven, what is heaven? That's another expression. So the different descriptions of heaven, what you see are, it's a very nice place, there's nice people there, nice fruits and flowers, there's a lot of gold, you know, pretty buildings, flying machines. So it's quite a terrestrial place. And I think that this world of heaven or world of paradise is really what happens to planet Earth after God has finished transforming it. It turns into that, and it is so different from what it is now on every level that no one could imagine that this Earth can become that. But the information that we study in Brahma Kumaris actually says, no, God takes all souls to the state of liberation, and those souls who do that karma that takes you to a completely reconstituted planet, Earth, they will come to that world. So it depends on many factors, not less the desire of the souls in question.
So, Sister Denise, this all-important meeting that takes place between the soul and the Supreme Soul, it sounds like, well, the destiny of humanity. How do you invoke this experience?
You go deep into your memory. Because you see, there is another aspect which is also very subtle. Because you cannot look for something that you never had.
Yes. Yes.
You cannot look for something that you didn't lose. So there is this aspect, the soul had the experience of paradise. It had the experience of enlightenment. It lost it. It searched for it. So it knows when you find it again, because you have an association from memory, you get it. And then you are given that. This is the inheritance, you can say, that the soul receives from God. And the relationship with every soul to God is different. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are... you can say there are the souls of Christianity, there are the souls of Judaism, the souls of Buddhism, the souls of Islam, the souls of the different animist religions, and so on, you know, and every soul has something which is their initiating manifest state on this earth, and that is, you know, the identity of that soul. So you're trying to find out who you are. You're also trying to find out, well, what is my original religion? What is my true religion? Because some people, they convert from one religion to another, and maybe the religion you're born into doesn't correspond to something deeper, which you might want to define as your real religion. And so if that's the case, it may be because of karma or something like this, then whenever you encounter that religion which corresponds to your deeper part, you'll be drawn there, you'll be attracted there, you might even convert to that.
Okay. Sister Denise, are we as humanity lost? Are we simply a bunch of orphans looking for a way home?
In many ways, yes. You know, we are stumbling in the dark, trying to find something. We don't know quite exactly what it is. We're doing all sorts of experiments. We're proposing all sorts of solutions, and some of them work quite well for some time, but at the present moment, a lot of things are really not working well at all. And so people are beginning to say that, look, our resourcefulness is not providing what we need. We now need to look to a source that is outside the human world, because God is not a human. God is the incorporeal supreme soul, the father of all souls, the knower of the game. And so if a person can say, okay, what I need to do is I need to turn my mind to God directly and enter into some kind of interaction whereby I say to God, I need you, I need to know what you're talking about, I need to make sense of the world I'm living in, would you please come here and talk to me? Something like that.
Sure. Okay, so one of the most lovely things that you said today is, just as the child is looking for the father is also looking for the child. Why is God so invested in humanity? What is the what is in it for him? Because whatever I do, there's something in it for me, and we all operate like that. So what is God's motivation?
God will say, you have each other, I only have you.
Oh, that is so lovely.
You see, so it is, it's a family. And God is the Father, and we are the brothers and sisters. And the family has been scattered, the father has been lost, everybody's wandering around, you know, stumbling from door to door, from pillar to post, trying to make sense of things. And then the moment comes, and there are legends about it, the moment comes when there's a beautiful meeting between the souls and the Supreme Soul through a broker. So there has to be a medium, you know, human medium, through which the discarnate incorporeal soul and the souls can actually interact on a physical level, because communication can take place telepathically, but mostly people's minds are so gross that it's a bit hit and miss. So we communicate through the physical means. I mean, I, the soul, speak through my mouth, and you, the soul, hear it through your ears and respond to me. So we're communicating verbally on the physical level, or we could communicate by writing. You know, and technology, communications technology, what everybody likes is, I want to see you, I want to talk to you. And so we like these instruments like Google Hangout or Skype or something like this, conference, internet conferencing. But when the internet is not so good or the bandwidth is not so strong, then we have to resort to texting. And so then we text to each other.
Hmm. Okay, Sister Denise, on that high note, I'd have to say goodbye to you today. But thank you so much. This hasn't been just words for me. It has been an experience. And I hope that has been your experience at home. The beauty of listening to a yogi with so many years of having soaked in God's presence is that when listening to somebody of Sister Denise's caliber, it's not about the words, it's about the feeling, the energy, the vibrations, and experiencing the beauty and wonder of God. I invite you to do the same. I invite you to spend more time thinking about God. Whether you think you found God or not, irrespective of that, is it not time to take your relationship with God to a whole new level? With these words, I'd like to say goodbye to you for now. We hope to see you again, and good day.